Thanks to Northern Environment Lick and CDPB for organising the event and feeding the big public appetite there is out there for more information. Bill White from informs me that actually at all of these events, all of the undecideds, people seem to be tending towards Remain. So I'm not sure if some of us shouldn't go home and be quiet for the next 3 weeks and it might help the result. I do believe that economically and in other ways, Remain is a bit of a no-brainer, and I know Glyn will set out the economic case more widely shortly, but I appreciate that there are very contradictory numbers and arguments swirling about. I think all the credible studies here, though, link 1 in 8 jobs to the EU. A report by the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment. Can you hear me okay if that's not... Yeah, can you hear me okay? Yeah. Say that it would take about $1 billion off our economy. I think it, certainly Northern Ireland is a net beneficiary. I think our nominal share of the UK's fee is about $385 million, which comes back to us in CAP and Interreg funds before we do even start to talk about some of the peace funding and other social funding. And investment in R&D and universities. Owen spoke about agriculture, and I think it is worth noting that the agriculture sector here is very different than in GB, and I think it's more similar, it's less of more of an ownership model and more similar maybe to farming in the Republic, and I think that previous agriculture ministers in the Republic have probably better spoken for the sector here. But certainly that investment has allowed that sector, and I believe fishing as well, to modernise and to diversify and to become a growth industry here. And we know agri-foods is a much more important part of our economy. And the fact is, our producers, they don't compete on bulk and scale. They compete on high quality and being part of the most stable market in the world. 500 million consumers ready to purchase high quality food is absolutely vital to them. I think it's fair to say as well that, yes, of course, we would still trade with the EU, but those deals would take many years to establish, and we would still have to adhere to all that red tape if we want to sell into the European Union without having any say at all in it. I think, Owen, you might be a little bit optimistic about any sweetheart deals that the UK would get if it walked away from Europe. I don't think Europe would do it particularly punitively, but I don't think I think people talk about Norway and Sweden, and with respect, the UK is neither of those places. I think it is probably fair to say that people have commented the two campaigns are having sort of different conversations. The Leave campaign have almost stopped rebutting the economic argument, and across the water certainly it is more of a conversation about migration, and I hope that the Remain campaign will make in the next few weeks a very firm defence of the concept, those European values of free movement of people and goods and services, as well as the social protections and the worker protections that we get from Europe, and that I'm afraid we can't have very much confidence that the current government would replace around things like maternity leave and equal pay and our clean beaches and our safe toys and all of those things as well. And certainly I think in Northern Ireland I don't think the discourse has got so much about immigration, but while there are pressures on public services, we have to be very clear that they're not the fault of a Polish care worker or an Estonian software developer at all, and that actually in migration is on almost a net level here. We have about the same number of people coming in as leaving, and EU migrants I think factually pay in considerably more to the public purse than they use in public services. I think if Northern Ireland has a migration problem, it is the tens of thousands of young people who still feel they need to leave here to find the opportunities and the modern society they want. I think what has been most encouraging about the debate is that it hasn't. People have realised it is too important to look at through nationalism or unionism, and it is a genuinely cross-community campaign. The consequences are disastrous, regardless of your constitutional view. We don't know, and I know as recently as today there is debate, we don't know whether a Brexit would mean border controls on the border in this island, because quite simply those who have been advocating the referendum for decades haven't done their homework and haven't adequately set out what things would look like on the 24th of June, whether you would need to show your papers to go to Dublin or to get off the ferry in Scotland. But I think what is very clear is that the relationship between London and Dublin, which is at the highest point and the best that it has been, because Ireland and Britain are able to deal with each other as neighbours and friends and as equals, I think that relationship would be damaged. The EU is the most successful conflict resolution project of all times, and I think if you look at how far Europe came in even 10 and 20 years, should be inspirational and possibly a slight kick up the bum for Northern Ireland when you look at the advances they made in the first decade or two after World War II. I'm going shortly to a conference on Polish and Northern Irish connections, and I was reminded last night of the Tony Jute, the historian's line, that the opposite of communism isn't capitalism, it's Europe. And I think those advocating leave talk about the complexity of Europe and the complexity of the infrastructure. You can't administrate a machine with 500 million moving parts in the form of humans without some complexity. And if you think it's complex, go and look at the circumstances that led up to the First World War and the Second World War, which are complex as well, and which the project has successfully resolved. Owen is cynical about whether or not it's a master plan, but certainly I do think that complex global problems like climate change, like the humanitarian crises, like tax regimes, they don't stop at borders, and they can't be resolved just by nation states. And similarly, I think the European project, in being part of Europe and shedding our perceived peripherality of Europe, has been a big part of the framework for peace in Northern Ireland, that placed much less emphasis on whether you're British or Irish, and just implemented through the Good Friday Agreement that basic principle that mutual dependence and economic cooperation and shared endeavour is the most successful model for conflict resolution.